Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to the Seeking Alpha Editors Roundtable, Alpha Talks, What Moved the Markets This Week. I am joined once again by my panel of Seeking Alpha colleagues, Brad Olison, VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alpher, Managing Editor of Breaking News. I'm your host, Nathaniel Baker, a contributing editor at Seeking Alpha. All right. So it's actually normally a very quiet week, and indeed the markets, at least the stock markets, aren't moving terribly much, but there's been quite a bit of news and items for us to unpack. But quite a bit of news here. Starting on Monday with this news of the virus mutation, which briefly caused some fear in the markets, even though the stimulus bill was finally approved on, only then to have President Trump throw some more drama into it, saying he's not going to sign it. It's apparently veto-proof, but there's going to be drama around that. And we also had crackdowns in China that are moving things today. Baidu, Alibaba, JD are all kind of taking it on the chin here today. So a lot going on. And then lest we forget, happy holidays on the other side of the Atlantic, the Brexit deal apparently now ready to go. So speaking of Brexit, why don't we go to the north of the UK, to Scotland, to Kim Kahn, to give us his views on what's going on this week.
Well, I went out this morning to the local fishmonger to see just what the deal with the fish was. Low selection. Don't know if that's from the closing down of the ports for the new strain, or if there's just a big demand because people are shopping for the holidays. But I was surprised I got back and it was pretty much a done deal. And now they've had the press conferences, and now it's up to everybody to read the thousands of pages that are actually in the deal. Now the sticking point of fishes is solved. We saw obviously a bounce in the pound, but it came off some highs today. What was interesting yesterday was when the Brexit deal was first reported as almost finished, was a drop in treasuries and spike in rates. The 5 to 30 year curve got to the steepest point it has in 4 years. So a lot of feeling that, I think, about a bit of risk on something that's behind the market, and that people can adjust from there. The other thing I've been watching this week is oil prices have been kind of volatile. And I think that's a bit to do with travel. Yesterday, we had a surprise drop in gasoline inventories, which indicated that people in the weekly numbers are driving. And yesterday saw 1.2 million people go through TSA checkpoints. That's higher than Thanksgiving. And it's just now about 60% off it was a year ago. So, and jet fuel demand has been kind of really keeping a lid on oil prices. So that could be something that changes soon.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty crazy with the travel, because as we all know, Christmas is not a holiday that's celebrated by everybody in the US. Thanksgiving is. And so one would suspect Thanksgiving travel to be higher, to be more than Christmas. And typically it is, but not this year, apparently. So what that will mean for the virus, I don't know. Brad, what about you? What were you watching this week?
Well, I think in honor of the Santa Claus rally time period beginning today, rather than all of December, how it's normally kind of assumed to be, the official Santa Claus rally period begins the December 24th, in this case this year. So I thought I'd just take a look at what markets have been doing generally. And one thing that jumped out to me was the Russell 2000 closed above 2000 for the first time ever. I thought that had a nice ring to it. And it also builds off a prior story we've mentioned on this program following the election, which was that small caps were off to the races almost immediately as the election results were called, to a point now where the Russell Russell 2000 is up about 30% from that period. That's compared to the S&P 500s and NASDAQ's relatively modest 14 to 15% gains since that election period. The Russell 2000 now is on a relative strength index basis around 75, which is above the key 70 level, widely perceived to be viewed as overbought. So I thought that was kind of interesting to see how those have continued to perform and it kind of builds upon this risk appetite that we've seen for quite some time. What I noticed also this week was that the NASDAQ was considerably outperforming a lot of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It outperformed the Dow Jones by five straight days earlier this week. That was the longest streak since July that we've seen in the tech-heavy NASDAQ. So a lot of, seems like there's a little bit of risk on here with some of the tech names, especially considering the pandemic's kind of still top of mind. Some of these work from home names were doing well at some point earlier this week. And then the second kind of topic that I've been paying attention to specifically this week ahead of the 2021 picks was Walmart. So Walmart was one of the few stocks that did make multiple Wall Street analysts lists for the top picks for 2021, notably Bank of America and RBC. They both saw the name as a relatively cheap opportunity, especially considering we're still in the pandemic, we're still relying a lot on the consumer staples. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting look. It also ranks relatively highly on our Seeking Alpha Quant rating list. So those listeners and watchers should check that out as well. But it also popped into the news this week as the Department of Justice filed suit alleging a role in the opioid crisis. So Walmart itself is down about 5% over the past month, while the rest of the indices have broadly gained to record highs. And I guess this lawsuit just this filed this week is just another reason for caution. You'll recall in November, a lot of the drug distributors like AmerisourceBergen, McKesson, CVS all settled the lawsuit related to the opioid crisis for several billions of dollars. That said, something to note, Walmart is pushing back vociferously against this lawsuit, claiming it's unfounded, and that I think the Department of Justice is using a little revisionist history. Part of the allegations were that Walmart should have known that some of these prescriptions were being filled couldn't possibly be legitimate. Walmart basically said that they were just following the direction from the government itself on some of these approved doctors. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting story this week, a little juxtaposition with the 2021 picks and a little bit of a risk overhang.
Yeah, Walmart, interesting stock that tends to do well during recessions. And it famously did very well in 08, 09. And also it was one of the very few, along with the Zooms of the world, that I think did quite all right in February, March, and April. So that is a very interesting pick from that perspective. My first reaction was that it's not terribly imaginative that these guys employ analysts and pay them well, and they could have come up with something a little bit more interesting, but who knows. And the Santa rally, by the way, today was the first time I learned that first of all, that there is such a thing as an official Santa rally. And second of all, that it is for these, I guess, seven trading days starting today through January 3rd or something.
It's the first two trading days of 2021. So I think in this case, it might be the 4th of,
right on.
Of January.
Because I always thought it was just December, that when stocks rallied in early December, people called that the Santa rally. But anyway. All right. Stephen, over to you. What's on your mind and on your radar this week?
A couple things. I know something we talked about a couple weeks ago is ARK Invest.
That's a crypto. Okay, go ahead.
Nope. Maybe we'll get to that. We'll see how I'm feeling. But run by Cathie Wood. That fund of ETFs pulled in almost $1 billion on Tuesday in inflows. For the month of December, it's probably going to pull in more than $11 billion or close to $11 billion in inflows. And just for some perspective, if you think of the iShares family owned by BlackRock, a mammoth fund of ETFs, ARK Investments is probably going to pull in more money in December than the iShares funds will. With all the 401ks that they have lined up with automatic money, ARK Investments is going to get more. So it's a pretty remarkable move. It's a virtuous circle right now, right? Or George Soros likes to say reflexivity, where ARK invests in and these hot stocks, Tesla and the genomic names, and money goes in, they buy more of it, the stocks go up, more money goes in, right? So it's a virtuous circle right now. I don't know if it might reverse. I'm reminded, if anybody remembers the name Kevin Landis from the internet bubble, he ran a fund that was just going gangbusters and just drawing in, you know, almost more money than they could put to work. And it was the same kind of virtuous circle. And that didn't end well for investors. Now, I'm not casting aspersions on Cathie Wood, who I think is brilliant and was making the case for a lot of these names, you know, years ago before they were, you know, the hot names to be. And so she was kind of ahead of her time in that fashion. But it could be things might be getting a little bit ahead of themselves right now.
I think maybe, yeah. You mentioned Tesla, Steve, and I think we'd be remiss not to mention the week that was post the S&P inclusion.
That's right.
I think after that, there was a relatively high print on Friday. Tesla stock, I think, was $6.95.
All-time high, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Kim did an item earlier this week where he talked about how the Tesla was approaching correction territory, and I think they did hit it. So off about 10% at one point, but you know that doesn't last very long in this name. You know, I think shares are already back up into the mid $600 after a brief sell-off. But nevertheless, we saw the correction.
Yeah,
Tesla had a pretty nasty correction in September 1st after they split their stock, right? Everybody got in ahead of the stock split, then the stock sold off, you know, really a real nasty sell-off after that stock split. I think it went from 500 or, you know, well over 20% the stock sold off at one point. And, you know, obviously came roaring back. So maybe the same.
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing you can kind of set your clock to is whenever there's a sell-off in Tesla, for everybody who is bearish or short on Tesla to come out of the woodworks claiming they were right all along, and then they eerily go silent when the stock starts rising again, as happened here, as I mentioned, up to 2.6% as we record this on 11:17 a.m. on Thursday. Okay, so next week we will be doing this again. Same bat time, same bat channel. If you're old enough to get that reference, then I don't know. But we'll be doing a short one of these again on Thursday, the 31st of December, the very last trading day of the year. And maybe we'll talk a little bit then about what we're expecting for 2021. For now, I leave you with happy holidays. Happy Christmas to those who celebrate, and look forward to speaking to you all again next time.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.